The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, the overall score, the result, not what you hoped for, as the Bucks come up just short tonight to the Indiana Pacers, 126-113. So this best of seven series is now in the same spot the Bucks were a year ago, nearly identically. Down 3-1, and just as we saw last year, you split the 2 games at home. You lost both of the games on the road, though the Bucks clearly showed much more fight in these 2 road games against the Pacers than they did a year ago against the Miami Heat. And you return home, looking to avoid elimination. Let's get it out of the way. There are no moral victories, especially for a team that has aspirations of a championship and is now 3 years removed from an NBA championship. But the fight, the resolve that you saw from that group on the floor tonight was exactly what you were hoping to see. And look, when you saw the news on Damian Lillard, and we were talking about this Friday night after that loss, and I'll get to that in a moment. But when you saw the news trickle out of Doc Rivers in his press conference, mentioning the Achilles for Damian Lillard, you started to wonder who's left. What is this going to mean for this team? We don't know if Giannis is going to return. And again, that is the biggest caution I would throw out there. Even if the Bucks won this game tonight, to not pin your hopes on, hey, it's a tied series and you're getting Giannis back. You don't know if you are. And again, everything that we've heard about this injury is it's a 2 to 4 week recovery. Game 5, Tuesday, that will mark 3 weeks. So you're right at that midpoint. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come back. We did hear some encouraging news from Doc Rivers before the game, but I think you also need to address it serves Doc Rivers well to say, hey, he's doing great. Right? You don't want the Indiana Pacers to think there's no chance that Giannis is going to come back. But this is what you wanted to see. And when you came to grips with the fact that Damian Lillard was likely not going to play in this one, based on everything that was coming out of the locker room on Friday night, to me, the big thing was this. It's not a concession, and I'll say this, too. The series is still not over. Even though I mentioned you're in the same spot you were a year ago, you split the 2 home games, you lost both of the games on the road, you haven't had Giannis for a bulk of the series. Last year, if you recall, he missed game 2 at home. He missed game 3 on the road in Miami. He came back for game 4. And we saw a much different Bucks team. That was the game they built up the big lead, and it slipped away. Caleb Martin hit some big shots in that one. Gabe Vincent hit some big shots in that one. Jimmy Butler was huge in that one. But it was a different team, and it slipped away. And we saw the same story in game 5. But Giannis missed game 3. He missed game 2. He played, I think it was around 7 minutes in game 1. That charge that Kevin Love took came early in that game. For all intents and purposes, he missed the first 3 games of that series. He has missed the first 4 games of this series. Injuries, unfortunately, for 3 straight years have been a big, big storyline for the Bucks. You overcame them in 2021 and you won a championship. But since then, this team, it's almost as if they have been cursed. Chris Middleton goes down in game 2 of your title defense. First round series against the Chicago Bulls. Does not return. And what we saw against the Boston Celtics was in many ways what you saw tonight. And that, to me, is what I was hoping to see. Again, the series is not over. You still got to take one more if you're the Indiana Pacers. Would you much rather be in a spot up 3-1 than down 3-1? Sure. But it's still not over. And especially if Giannis can return. If Giannis can return. But you saw a team in 2022 that fought and that knew they were undermanned and tried to find every single advantage they could. You had Giannis on the floor, and he was clearly the best player on the floor in that series. But it was a team that went down swinging in 2022. There was obviously a lot in play last year, on the court, off the court. And again, you didn't have Chris Middleton in 2022. You didn't have Giannis for at least half of that series last year. But I don't know if you saw the same fight. And again, far be it for me to sit here and tell you how much an individual fought. Right? I'm not that guy. I'm not in the locker room. But you could see it in 2022. And that, to me, is what I wanted to see. This team was undermanned. If it was too much to overcome, I just want to see them go out the way like they did in 2022. And tonight was a big step towards that. But ultimately, it may come down to Game 3. And I said it at the time. We talked about it on Bucks Talk after that loss. It's a tough pill to swallow. And that was even before we had the confirmation that Damian Lillard's injury was serious enough that it was going to cost him at least one game in this series. If you win that game, even without Giannis and Dame, let's say you don't have either of those two players for the remainder of this series. If you won on Friday night, it's now a best of three series, tied at two games apiece. Two of those three games, should you need them, would be played in Milwaukee. And asking an undermanned group to take two games out of four, including tonight, it's a much different ask than saying, we need you to take three out of four with very, very, very little margin for error. You can talk yourself into, didn't come tonight, but maybe you'll get the shooting variance game. And then maybe it goes to game seven and you feel like, look, these are a totally different animal. We have the experience. This is an Indiana Pacers team that has not been in this spot before. Pascal Siakam has. The other guys have not been in this spot before. We feel like that's where our metal is going to shine. But you didn't get that game. And to me, missed opportunities may be the biggest thing you look at. There is a lot more that went into game two, but you lost a game where you had another one of those Damian Lillard performances. And then game three, you lost a game where you had the Chris Middleton game, 42 points. Unstoppable. Game-tying three, late in regulation. Game-tying three, late in overtime. You still lost the game. Tonight, I felt very strongly that the Bucks were going to win this game. You see this happen from time to time when you have teams that are down like this. And we've talked about this on this show before. This is where Doc Rivers seems to be at his best, when he has an undermanned team. There's something about the mentality of looking across there and seeing this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's out. Rick Carlisle knew it. Rick Carlisle talked about it before the game, too. Look, we got to remain focused. I don't want to look at who's not on the floor. Doc Rivers said it after the game. We don't talk about Giannis. We don't talk about Dame. We don't create distractions. Remember, Eric Spoelstra said it earlier this season when the Bucks played the Heat, and the Heat were down virtually everyone on their roster. And Eric Spoelstra would not even entertain the question because it was disrespectful to the rest of the team. Coaches are aware of this. It's human nature. You let up a little bit. I'm sure there was some of that. I'm sure there was an extra motivated version of the Bucks that came into play tonight as well. But you're right there in the first half, and then the shooting just became insurmountable. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Quite a few calls lining up. We'll get to all of you tonight. Take your thoughts on this one, what it means for the rest of the series. What are your thoughts for Game 5? And again, I know a lot of those thoughts and predictions are going to hang on the availability of Giannis and of Damian Lillard, but it does sound as though if you're going to get one of those two guys back, it's more likely to be Giannis than Dame. Also, the Bobby Portis ejection and what that did for the team. But I do want to spend some more time talking about the positives that we saw in this one. We saw a version of Brook Lopez we saw again in that series against the Celtics and in that series the year prior against the Atlanta Hawks. You are going to need that in the next three games of this series to advance to the second round. But we also saw another good performance from Andre Jackson Jr. So while it is disappointing that the Bucks lost and are now in a spot where they have no room for error and their backs are firmly against the wall, there are still some positives to take from this. And again, this is not the same spot you were in a season ago. We just mentioned the similarities, right down to losing both games on the road, splitting at home, Giannis' status. There's a lot that you can draw parallels on. But the biggest one to me is this Indiana Pacers team. This is not the Miami Heat that you faced a season ago. Health is going to be most important for the Bucks. But my message to you is it's not over yet. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. We'll start to hear from you after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks in a must-win situation from here on out now, down 3-1 against the Indiana Pacers after a 126-113 defeat tonight in Indiana. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Plenty of you starting to chime in here. Let's head to the phone lines and start with Dale in Oak Creek. You're up first.
Hey, Justin Garcia, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so going into game four, I had like high hopes that the Bucks would win, but they didn't. They lost big time, and I'm really disappointed. But with Giannis and Dame out, no way. They should have won, but I'm going to game five. I think they should win, but I don't know because Giannis is out for game four, and Dame is out for game four, but do you think they're going to win in game four, and then do you think both Giannis and Dame are going to like play in game five? And if not, then what happens next?
Well, a lot to get to there. I don't know. It depends on who's available in terms of projecting game five. We have no idea. And Doc Rivers himself said that. And look, I think the other thing to keep in mind is we're spending so much time talking about Giannis and Dame. I think you do have to keep an eye on the injury report as it pertains to Chris Middleton. He had his left ankle, not the same one, but had his left ankle stepped on. And anybody that's experienced that knows it's not that day that it's an issue. It hurts immediately. You walk it off, and it's fine. It's the next day and the day after when it starts to swell up, and then you potentially have issues. So in that regard, that is going to be interesting. But it's not a cop-out. I don't know. You know, I said before this series began, I did not know what to expect. You could talk me into any scenario. You could talk me into the Bucks finding that consistency and using their experience and handling the Pacers. You could talk me into a 7-game series where the Bucks win, a 7-game series the Bucks lose. You could talk me into Indiana winning this thing in 5, which we may well get. I don't think anybody had injuries, at least to the level the Bucks have sustained here on their bingo card. And that is really what's going to determine this. You know, I said the series isn't done yet, and a lot of that is because if you get Giannis back, that changes things immensely on both ends of the floor. But if, it's not when, it's if. And again, Doc Rivers was optimistic and said Giannis was able to run without restriction today. Felt pretty good. He's optimistic we will see him in this series. It's also Doc Rivers' job to say that, right? You're not going to come out and say, yeah, Giannis is done for the series. We had no chance of him playing before Saturday. Earliest he would return would be next week. And Dame is done too. You're not going to hear that. So I don't know how much optimism to pin on those comments from Doc Rivers. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Let's head to North Carolina and check in with Justin. You're up next.
Hey, man, I'm a little bit more optimistic. I don't care who we have coming out on the floor tonight, man. I'm just not a believer in these dudes in Indiana. And I feel like if we had Bobby Portis tonight, we win this ball game. And I'm not going to make any excuses for what Bobby did, because Bobby is a smarter basketball player than that. He's a veteran. He's a leader. And more importantly, he's a mayor of Milwaukee. So he understands his value to this team. And it even further escalates his value without Giannis, without Dame. So emotions get the best of us sometimes, and we make stupid decisions. Couple things. Referees, absolutely trash. Like, you called a completely different game from start to finish. You gave Pat Bev a tech for too small. Then you let Naismith run up on Ajax after you mugged him to get the rebound from him. So, I mean, it's just the consistency, man. You let Siakam walk to the hole, and you don't call the foul in the shooting motion for Middleton on the three-point line. I mean, we go on and on all night about that, Justin. But these dudes from Indy are a bunch of punks. Sorry to say it, but we've got to, you know, we're hockey guys too, right? So we got to call it like it is. But my biggest qualm tonight is this dude from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're not from Milwaukee. Stop talking about Milwaukee. Stop talking about the 414. We don't respect you there. You're laughing at Chris Middleton when he hurts his ankle. That is absolutely deplorable. You cannot do that stuff. And I got a question for you, man, because, hey, long time no talk, but serious question. Why is it Dame's injury was someone being around his ankle, right? Being around his foot. Middleton, same thing. Beverly tonight, you got to watch the injury report for him. Why is it these Pacer guys are always around these legs when we're going up for shots and stuff like that?
So, I know what you're getting at. It's funny, too. So, I'll answer the question, but along those lines, did you see the interview Kevin Durant did recently where he talked about what he's changed the last couple of years? And I think, you know, his scoring is obviously dipped. Part of that is age, but he's talked about that specifically, in that you know who those guys are. And you know who's trouble, so I just try to stay away from the traffic. The Dame part, I don't think it was that play early in the game. Now, maybe it triggered something, but I thought it was shown that it was, I think it was the final play of the fourth quarter, the contest that Dame had, or getting into position, that's what caused the issue. But, you know, it just... No, more than that, it just got to the point of you saw all these guys go down. You knew you were already without Giannis and Dame. Bobby gets not an injury, but Bobby's gone. You saw the Chris thing, and I just talked about it a couple of minutes ago, too. Not to be negative here, but I don't know that you can count on Chris Middleton being there for Game 5, because it's usually the day after or 2 days after, with ankles, that it starts to become a problem and swell. So we do have to keep an eye on that. Pat Beverly gets dinged up, that it was just one after another. And look, the challenge is it's been three straight years now of injuries, unfortunately being a big part of the story in the playoffs for the Bucks. You can say, hey, it's that way for everyone. Yes, everyone has to deal with injuries. I don't remember, as much as I've watched the league, I cannot name a team that has dealt with it with these guys, as important as they are, every single year in the playoffs. That, in, you know, I guess in some ways it just makes you even more appreciative of what they did in 2021.
No, that's a great point. Even when you look at Phoenix's big three, like, they're down 3-0, but they have all three of their guys there now. And they went through their stuff during the regular season, but not during the postseason. I think it's just an onslaught of injuries. But, you know, I know we talked a little bit of negative, and I know we got a lot of Bucks fans, and, you know, shout out to my guy Dick in Port Washington. Forgot to do that. Maybe if we had his boy on the squad, we'd do a little bit better. That's just a joke. But I'm going to say this. If there's any time for a Bucks three-game win streak, it starts Tuesday. It's not your last show Tuesday, Justin. We're going to keep this train rolling. And I think, I don't care who's on the floor for us. We got Jackson, who's a collegiate. He's just a collegiate baller. And I think he's going to set the tone. Beverly's going to set the tone. Giannis will be back. I think even Dame's going to play. Like, when you look at those guys' faces during some of this stuff, and Halliburton, whatever you want to call this dude, his talking, I think, is what's going to get Giannis and Dame back on the court. I just hope that they come back and they don't risk any further injury. And, hey, man, we keep just going all the way through June or July. That's been my goal all year, and I think we got the guys to do it. We got the ammo to do it, so let's keep it going.
Let me add this, too, Justin, is I think we both agree. I don't feel the same way I did a year ago at this time when it seemed pretty clear, and there was a lot that was going on with that team off the floor, too, but it seemed pretty clear after you lost Game 4 the way you did in Miami. Yeah, I think this is done. Maybe if not Game 5, we're probably done in Miami in Game 6. Even with the injuries we just talked about, I do not feel that way yet. The series is not over. This Pacers team is not what the Bucks faced last year in the Miami Heat. But, you know, the other part of that story is if there was anyone that was due for a 3-1 comeback series victory, it would have to be Doc Rivers.
There you go. Big guy. Yeah, you're right. Miami was I hate to say it and I hate to admit it, but Miami was a better basketball team than us last year. Jimmy Butler was playing out of his mind. There's nobody like
Caleb Martin.
Turner is making
right. Gabe Vincent and down the line. Yeah.
And they were making everything. So Miles Turner is having a series, but that's because Brooke is put in a compromising position. Bobby's not there. And, like, no, Giannis being on the floor changes Siakam, changes Turner, and that changes the whole scope of the series. I think Giannis, and you could bring these guys down from Oshkosh, where Halliburton's from. You can bring the herd down, and they'll beat them. This Pacers team is not it. They're a bunch – Bobby said it so prolifically, and people look at him like he's just – they're a bunch of front runners. Their fans are a bunch of front runners. How many of them were sitting on their hands during the second quarter, the third quarter, and all this energy came once they're up 17? Now, so what we need – I'm going to go with this, Justin. What we need is every Bucks fan in the city of Milwaukee to put on whatever color we need to put on, whatever your lucky shirt is, and come into that Pfizer Forum and have it rocky. And, Justin, you kill it Tuesday, and let's have another postgame show, bro.
All right. Well, let's have a couple more. Thanks for the call, Justin. We'll talk to you Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. We'll say that, too. Joe and Dick, still some more calls coming in. We will get to you guys after this. Again, a 3-1 deficit for the Bucks to overcome. It's not over yet. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. We'll get to your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk. .126-113, the final in Indianapolis. The Pacers go up 3-1 on the Bucks. So now facing, hopefully, 3 consecutive must-win games for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phones and check in with Dick in Port Washington.
Hey, Justin. The professor from North Carolina was right on. This front-running phony from Oshkosh, you know, you didn't see him dancing around towards the end of the game on Friday. You know, he's just a front runner, as the fans are. I will say this, that I think tonight we lost because of defense and Friday night. Friday night, why do you think they would put the front runner in the backcourt, way in the backcourt? He was going to bring the ball up. What I mean, it's like, you know, when a guy hits you once in the face and he rears back again, what do you think is going to happen again? You're going to get hit again. Why didn't they pick him up? There was only 6 seconds left. They should at least put some pressure on him back there. But that's that. Tonight, this small guard, another front runner, he had how many layups, and we couldn't stop it? I can't think of his name. The guy
McConnell.
That got in a little argument with. Yeah. I mean, he had how many layups? You know, it's just crazy. It's hard for me to take this loss. You know, Miami was a good team last year. That was hard to take. This is worse for me because I think if everybody's healthy, we win this going away. You know, I read a stat the other day that in the last six seasons, we've only had one season where we weren't hurt into the playoffs, where you didn't have stars missing. Think of that. And that goes back to when we lost to Toronto, I believe. I don't know if you know, the year.
I mean, stars, sure, but Dante DiVincenzo you didn't have for that playoff run.
Yes, right, yeah. I know, but it's like the injuries are just unbelievable. Yeah. I will say this, though. We can't risk losing Dame or Giannis to having an Achilles.
A serious injury going into next year. Yeah.
Serious injury going there. Because, and I, you know, I don't know what day it was I called in, but I still think next year, I bet Vegas is going to have, if we keep the core group together, Vegas is going to have us quite high at winning the NBA title next year. You're going to have a full training camp. There's no Doc system. And I think Doc's been pushing the right button. You know, and I think he was reluctant to play the young guys because he's a veteran coach, and young guys don't play well. I think that Adrian, you know, the former coach, he was willing to play those guys. And I think that was one of the few things I think he was right on in hindsight, play those guys, Dr. Griffin. But, you know, let's see. It's really next year, but, gosh, if we could come back, this would be unbelievable. Friday night, man, I couldn't even sleep after that game. That was rough.
And that, to me, was the real tough one. Like, if the Bucks go out on Tuesday or lose this series Thursday, right? Friday was probably the death knell because it was there. It was there for the taking. You had that Chris Middleton masterclass that he put on. And as I said before, look, even if you don't have Giannis or Dame for the rest of the series, if it's 2-2 going into a best of three where two of those games are at home, stranger things have happened, and it's a lot less of a heavy lift to ask that undermanned group to win two versus win three.
Right. And you know what really bothered me about Friday night? Indiana missed the shot so badly. Yep. The ball bounced out on the free throw line. I mean, it's hard. You can't blame that on giving up offensive rebounds and the ball bounces out that far. When guards are getting the ball out there, and I guess it still counts as a rebound, they just missed so badly. And there were a couple of plays there that we just didn't convert. But, I'm with you, and I think I'm with the professor, too. If we can win on Tuesday without risk of damaging next year, I think we go for it. But, boy, the health team better be on it. One other quick question, and I'm asking this from my son in Colorado. Do you think that our physical therapy team, the medical team, kind of missed on some of this, like with Giannis when he was complaining about Achilles heel injury, that the Solis was also affected at that point? Do they not evaluate that?
Well,
it just seems to me that it's kind of freaky. And there is no, in the literature, there's no medical correlation between the Solis and causing a tendon.
Yeah.
You know, that was a freak, you know, when
the Durant thing you're talking about.
Kevin Durant had it.
Yeah.
That's coincidental. Because I looked it up. The guys just say it doesn't happen. So, anyways, I talked too long. But, I'm going to call you on Tuesday and then hopefully through the weekend, too.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Dick. I don't know how much you would pin on. Look, Giannis had been on the injury report. In terms of Giannis complaining about it, I don't think he was. You know, Giannis, as we know, wants to play. It certainly raised eyebrows when you saw left soleus, left Achilles tendonitis, left hamstring. The reality is Giannis probably just needs rest, and I think that's where this group is at as a whole. But I'll say this, too, and 100% agreement with Dick. you don't bring Giannis back because you need to win three straight games. You bring Giannis back because it's, okay, he's as good as you can expect him to be at this point. He's ready to go, and we don't think he's at risk for any potential re-aggravation or serious injury. You know, that was the one thing all along I had been saying. It is not as simple, guys, as if you lose game one, you win game two, and you can buy Giannis more time. Or if you go down 2-1 or 3-1, then he's got to come back. If the series is tied, then buy him some more time. It is not about that. If you can play, you play. And especially Giannis, as we've seen, he wants to be on the floor. So this isn't the Bucks trying to buy him some more time and figuring out when do we absolutely need him back. If he's not playing, it's because he can't play. And we don't know that he can play on Tuesday. We don't know that he can play on Thursday if you get there. We don't know that he can play on Saturday if you get to that. So as I've said all along, you have to approach this series with the mindset we don't have Giannis. And we won't have Giannis. So how do we beat this Pacers team without that? I think we've seen the last two games. You can do that. It was right there for the taking in game three. Granted, it was 24 minutes, but you gave yourself chances in the second half. You got it down to 8 in this game, where Pat Beverly was hobbled. You were without Damian Lillard. You were without Bobby Portis. You were without Giannis on the road. I don't think this team is just going to fold on Tuesday. And you've started to see some of those youth injections from Andre Jackson Jr. But the reality is this. You need to hit threes. Especially when you're under man like this, you need to win on threes. They did not tonight. Whether it's Malik Beasley, AJ Green, Bobby Portis, whoever it is, you're going to need someone and likely multiple guys to make an impact knocking down threes on Tuesday. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Still some time to hear from you. We'll check in with Joe in Madison after this on Bucks Talk. 126-113 final in Indy. The Pacers go up 3-1. Another big Miles Turner game and a lot of positives in this from the Bucks, but we're not looking for moral victories here. You've now put yourself in a spot where you need to win 3 consecutive games to avoid first round elimination for the second straight season. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Joe in Madison. Thanks for waiting. You're up next.
Hey, Justin. I just want to preface this. I'm looking at this from a realist perspective. Like, last year, Miami was just on a tear. They were just they obviously were the better team, and losing Giannis that early in the series, you just knew, and Jimmy Buckets was superhuman that year. This year, I just don't know how to feel about this year. Like this entire year, from the regular season to now, I wasn't a huge fan of the trading for Damian Lillard just because I don't think two alphas like Dame and Giannis, who are so used to being ball dominant, can just all of a sudden be like, oh, yep, Dame, I'm going to defer to Giannis, or Giannis, I'm just going to go to Dame. It doesn't really work that way in the NBA. Like, you saw it with the Nets when they traded for KD and Kyrie and James Harden. That didn't work out. You saw it with the Suns. That's not working out. The Clippers, that's not working out. I just don't think trading for superstars to pair together, like, it doesn't really work that way. And, you know, Dame's getting older. Giannis is getting older. Chris is getting older. And are you really expecting, like, Andre Jackson Jr. and, you know, A.J. Green, and you don't have a ton of young talent on this team that you really are like, yeah, I'm stoked for this, for these players to, like, when Giannis eventually will go, and, you know, Chris eventually will go, and Dame, and, you know, Brooke Lopez. Like, you don't have young talent ready to just say, yep, we are confident in the direction of this team. And that's unfortunately the consequence you get when you push all the chips to the middle of the table and say, screw it, we're gunning for this year and this year only.
Well, I think it is fair to point out, it's part of that. It's part of the asset management and what they gave up for Drew Holiday, then what they gave up to bring in Damian Lillard. But those are also moves you have to make as long as you have Giannis here and you have this group. I mean, I think and once the season ends, we can certainly relitigate the Dame versus Drew trade. I still think, and have said this all season long, it was a trade you had to make, that we saw year after year the Bucks' offense in the half court was not good enough. And I know Drew Holiday is a fantastic individual defensive player, a very good team defensive player. You had an elite defense with that. But you can't win games -2-0. You have to outscore the other team. And we saw year after year. Injury's a big part of it, but the Bucks' offense was not good enough. The Damian Lillard trade, you know, part of the reason why you make it is because of that Giannis injury. Now, nobody projected losing Dame in the same series, but that's the thought, is, okay, one guy goes down, you got Damian Lillard here. The overall batting average, is it great? Probably not with super teams. No, you mentioned the Brooklyn Nets and a few other teams. The Clippers, I don't know that we can close that book yet, but it hasn't been great so far. They stayed alive tonight, and their series is tied at 2 games apiece. The Lakers won a title when they traded for Anthony Davis to pair with LeBron James. Obviously, much different collection of stars. The Miami Heat won a championship. The Brooklyn Nets, as much as it didn't work out, they would point to, hey, if James Harden doesn't have the injury, if Kyrie Irving doesn't have the injury, we think we beat the Bucks, and then who knows what happens there. So I don't know if it's as simple as just say, hey, super teams don't work. The other part of it is, it's not just the trades that the Bucks made. It's where you're picking in the draft that you typically don't, and I know it started to change, you don't find stars in the late 20s. You may find role players. Bucks have just not had those guys develop. When you think about their track record of success for draft picks, Malcolm Brogdon, Dante DiVincenzo, right? That's probably it. Maybe you have something here in Andre Jackson. I think you have something as well in A.J. Green. But the reality is, when Giannis is no longer a member of the Bucks, when Damian Lillard isn't, it's not looking for young guys that can step in and keep you at that level. You understand when that happens, you're taking a step backward. So that's kind of the spot the Bucks are going to be in. But all of that said, I think this has been in front of them for 3 years now. And regardless of how deep this postseason run goes, if they're done on Tuesday, if they're done sometime this weekend, if they make the conference finals, the number one takeaway is, obviously, as we know, you got to be healthy. But I think we've seen for 3 straight years, you need more athleticism. And the Bucks have just kind of doubled down on veterans. We haven't really seen it work out. So that's the big takeaway from this. But it's been the takeaway for 3 years. Maybe it's youth, but as we just went through, it's the challenges of finding the balance of young guys that are going to play on a team that is looking to win a title. But you just have to get more athletic, especially on the perimeter. And the Bucks have not done a great job of doing that for 3 seasons now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also wanted to bring up another point of just why is it like our 3-point shooting percentages have been pretty good the last 4 or 5 years in the regular season. But then when you hit the postseason, it's just awful. Like,
well,
is it nerves? Is it just relying on the wrong people? Like, why is it that the 3-point shooting is just terrible?
You'll hear a lot, 82 guy versus 16. In other words, are you a regular season guy or are you a guy that you can lean on in the playoffs? And I think the Bucks' problems with 3-point shooting has largely been in that degree. The closeouts and contests that you're going to get in the regular season, it's not as intense as you see in the playoffs. When you get to the postseason, you got to make tough shots. And you'll see the Bucks do it themselves, but you've seen at times in this series, who are you willing to leave open? And, you know, part of that can be mental, but to me, the big part is, you can put up good shooting numbers in the regular season. You might be catching a team on night two of a back-to-back or their third game in 5 days where the intensity isn't there. They're not closing out hard. That is not going to be the case in the playoffs. And it's not just the Bucks that fall victim to it, but it does seem as though it has been the most dramatic for the Bucks than any other team in the league. But, you know, that's the other interesting part of this series, Joe, is up until tonight, the Bucks were out shooting the Pacers by a wide margin on threes. The Bucks were shooting, I think, 39% for the series coming in. Pacers were 30 or 31%. Even tonight, you shot 36%. I mean, you would live with that. And it's certainly a far cry from what we saw, especially in that series against the Miami Heat. But it doesn't matter when the opponent's going to shoot better than 50% and they're going to knock down 10 more threes than you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to see if I can take anything from this. Like,
well,
I think the takeaways.
But yeah, you got to be healthy. But I think the takeaways are really Andre Jackson and AJ Green. I do think you have something there. And I look, maybe it was just the injuries Friday night that opened the door for Andre Jackson Jr., but it's not closing. And I think you can expect a lot from him next year. Maybe AJ Green is your starting two guard next year. Malik Beasley was on a 1-year deal. The Bucks don't own his rights. So you're going to have to do something there. But A.J. Green is clearly a guy that Doc Rivers trusts. So, you know, as much as we have mentioned, and you still need to add more than that, but the Bucks need more athleticism and young guys. Those are two guys I think you've found. The other part of it is just it's tough for the Bucks because of the whole notion of when does the window close. In the age of this group, the reality is, next year, assuming you can keep your health and keep most of these components around, next year was always likely to be your best shot at it. For some of the reasons you touched on before, that it is a full off season together for Giannis and Dame. It's not just having to figure out, hey, is this my spot or your spot in that chemistry? Think about when Damian Lillard arrived. It was a week before training camp started when he found out he's coming to the Bucks. Oh, by the way, you add in a different head coach, and Doc Rivers never really getting a sense to put his full stamp on this team. You get an offseason with Doc Rivers. You get a full training camp with Doc Rivers. So the reality is next year was always likely to be, hey, this is going to be the best, most optimized version of the Giannis and Dame Bucks. The problem with that is next year may be it. When you look at the rest of the roster and the construction of that group, Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton are going to be on walk years. You're going to be another year older. You've seen three straight postseasons where injuries, if not derailed, were a big, big part of the story in your postseason coming up short. And it puts a lot of pressure on that group to say, hey, this year might be it, so we better make the most of it.
Yeah, and then last question, and then I'll hang up. So, like, I guess I know Giannis is the best player on this team. He's top five, top two, top three player in the NBA. I guess I just don't know, like, as a fan, like, it just really is frustrating. Like, you know, pretty much every team's top player, maybe there's an exception out there, like, their coaches say in the final minutes, like, here's the ball. Go get us a bucket. And you can't really do that with Giannis. That's why they always went to Chris Middleton before. They went to Jrue Holiday. Now they're definitely going to Dame or Chris now. Like, can you be an alpha player when you can't shoot? Like, I don't know if we can call Giannis an alpha on this team, the leader of this team, if he is not taking the ball and saying, no, this is my ball, let me shoot the final shot. And if it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It was like last year in game five, he was so afraid of getting fouled and going to the line that he just throws the ball out of bounds. Like, that is just, weakness of just, like, knowing your weakness and saying, no, I just don't want to shoot. And ends up costing us the game. So, thank you, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joe. And look, a lot of things cost the Bucks that game and that series in Game 5. Giannis is an alpha. And I understand the argument, I suppose, or bringing up Giannis' efficiency, right? We talked about 30 points per game, 60% from the field. Nobody's done that. If you're the, hey, he's the run and dunk man, you would point to that. But it is something, right? And we've had this conversation that, you know, what would make Giannis completely unstoppable is that consistent mid-range shot. Anything like that. We've seen growth. We've seen regression. We've seen growth again. But again, that was the logic behind trading for Damian Lillard. And to Giannis's credit, we've seen him concede to Damian Lillard in those spots. Granted, regular season games. But we've seen him say, hey, this is Dame's shot. We've seen him through the years do the same thing for Chris Middleton. So I don't get hung up on that so much as the pieces around Giannis. If it's just Giannis and shooters, then it could be a problem, right? When it comes back to the whole 82 versus 16, do you have guys that they're going to fear in the playoffs or not? But that's why you add Damian Lillard. And again, it's no disrespect intended for Drew Holiday. That was one of those challenges. Is I think everybody knew Chris Middleton's the guy we got to key in here in those spots. We'll let Giannis take a mid-range shot. We'll let Drew Holiday do the same. Chris Middleton's the guy we have to look out for. And that was the logic behind this team. Unfortunately, we haven't seen it because of those injuries. But the thought of, man, you got Giannis, and now you got two guys that can knock down the shot next to him, Chris Middleton or Damian Lillard. You got the two-man game between Giannis and Dame. Think about what you're going to do there, where Giannis coming off the short roll, finding Chris Middleton in the corner. That, to me, is the biggest thing to look forward to next year. When Doc Rivers gets a full training camp. It's not conceding that this year is over yet, but when Doc Rivers gets a full offseason to work with this group, a full training camp, we've seen some growth in that two-man game. It wasn't an ideal spot for either of those two, Giannis or Dame, to be put in. All of a sudden thrown together at the last minute, a week before training camp starts. To have a new coach for Giannis, the first in 5 years. Then to have another new coach, a year full of change. It's been very, very weird for this entire group. So I hesitate to say what we just did before of, hey, next year was probably going to be your best go at it anyway because of the fact that you're a year older and you've seen three straight years where injuries have played a big role in telling the story of your postseason. Right? I think there are positive takeaways whenever this ends. And once that does happen, we'll get into that outlook. There are some positives to take from this, but the big question is, what needs to change? Because we've seen for 3 years, athleticism, youth, you need more of it. You may have some of it now. So how do you continue to develop that? But look, I think the story from tonight's show, as we've said over and over, and it seems like the consensus feeling with all of you as well, is it's obviously not an ideal spot. You would much rather be up 3-1 than down 3-1. Hey, you'd settle for tied at 2 games apiece, even if it means Giannis and Dame are not going to play in the rest of this series, which we don't know, by the way. But it's not over yet. Teams have come back from 3-1. It is not unheard of. And I said it jokingly, but you know what? Maybe we're not even kidding. If there is anyone that is due for a 3-1 series comeback on his watch, it is Doc Rivers to be on the good end of that. It's Doc Rivers. And I think the big things going into Game 5, you've seen in these last two games, successes. Right? Game 1's a different story. You had Damian Lillard. Game 3, at least for the first three quarters, different story. You had Damian Lillard on the floor. But tonight, you saw some successes. You saw some things that worked. If Bobby Portis doesn't get ejected, is it a different outcome? Who knows? It didn't help. But as Doc Rivers said afterwards, you know, I was very pleased with the way this team fought.
And I said when we started the show, the number one thing I was looking for, this is not a loser's mentality of, well, you're going to lose anyway, so. But to me, the big thing I was looking for is I want to see this team come out and fight. You see from time to time in spots like this, you can catch the opponent off guard, whatever it is. They take you lightly. Maybe you come out extra charged. But we've seen teams win in these spots. And you know, as Doc said, we got two games left at home. We have to win that first game at home to get to the second one and that game on the road, too. So that's the big thing. We just got to win that game at home. We can figure out and talk about the rest after that. But talking about the team and how they came out, you know, we hung in there. It was a three-point game at halftime. Halliburton hit some big shots early in the second half, but we were hanging in there. We had some breakdowns, but our guys were playing their hearts out. No matter what anyone thought, our guys believed we could win this game, and they were disappointed tonight that they didn't. That right there, that's step one. That's what you need to see. You need to see that fight. And now it's got to translate into a win. And then from there, it's got to translate into another win. And then from there, it's got to translate into another win. See, all you got to do is win on Tuesday. It has to start with that. And that's not impossible, right? This isn't last year where you knew this is not looking good for us. It's still not a good spot you're in. I'm not going to say the Pacers are a bad team. But I know there's frustration with that group. I've seen all the chatter. We heard Bobby Portis say the same as well. They're front runners. Some of the actions are hard to dispute that. But it just feels like, man, even without our two best players, Giannis and Dame, we're right there. We had chances. We think there are things we can get to go our way. Win at home. Put the pressure on the Pacers to close this out. I think it can be overstated at times when we talk about playoff experience, especially if matchups slant heavily one way or another. So that is the danger of what's approaching potentially here for the Bucks. But if you win at home, game five, it starts to change things. Because that's a young Pacers team without a whole lot of playoff experience that is going into game six. I'm not going to, again, must-win game gets overused quite a bit. It is not a must-win game in game six for the Pacers. But it is a game that they know, look, if we don't win this, we have to close out the Bucks on the road. If Giannis has not returned by that point, who knows? Maybe Giannis would return for a game seven, and we're suddenly the team that was in control up 3-1. Now we're in a game seven, potentially facing the best player in this series. But the only way to get to that scenario is to win on Tuesday and force a game six. We will wrap up the show. Check in as well, see if we have any updates on the tip time for Tuesday. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Wrapping things up here on Bucks Talk, 126-113, the final score. Pacers take a 3-1 lead in this best of seven series. So you got to win three straight games now if you're the Bucks to extend your season. The first of those games is going to be Tuesday night at home. That is game five. We do not know the tip time yet. All we know for Tuesday is the Knicks have a chance to close out the 76ers. That is a 6:00 tip at Madison Square Garden. Should it go to a game five, the Timberwolves would host the Phoenix Suns at 8:30. Then you have the Bucks and the Pacers and the Cavaliers and Magic. That series currently tied at 2 games apiece. So we got 4 games potentially on Tuesday. We'll only have 4 if the Suns win tonight. If not, they are eliminated and we'll have those 3 games. It seems, just looking at the projections that the league site has, it seems as though if the Suns lose tonight and are swept by the Timberwolves, the Bucks will host the Pacers at 8:30 on Tuesday. If not, it'll be in the early window. 6:30, 7:30, somewhere around there, 7 o'clock. But it seems as though if the Timberwolves win this game tonight, sounds like the Bucks are going to be the late game on Tuesday night. Look, we talked about the positives to take from this. As we wrap things up here, Brook Lopez was terrific tonight. 12 of 18, 3 of 5. He went 0-4 at the free throw line, as Doc Rivers said. Fatigue. You know, he played 39 minutes. Chris Middleton played 40 minutes. I want a handwritten apology from every single one of you, and you know who you are, for these last two games from Chris Middleton. Had the Bucks won this game tonight, given what Chris Middleton did those two games in Indianapolis, I would have expected the Bucks to retire Chris Middleton's jersey at halftime of Game 5. 42 points on Friday night. You should have won that game. He did everything he could to give you that win. Same story tonight. The Pacers were keyed in on Chris Middleton, especially after Bobby Portis was ejected in a game where you're already playing without Giannis and Damian Lillard, and they couldn't stop him. Chris was good. Brooke was good. Malik Beasley was good. 4 made threes, 20 points in 34 minutes. Andre Jackson Jr. was good. A.J. Green knocked down 2 threes. As we said, it's going to be the big thing for Game 5. And you saw some impactful minutes from Danilo Gallinari. I would anticipate we're going to see some more Danilo Gallinari in this series. The big thing for the Bucks is the health. Not just Dame and Giannis, Pat Beverly, who we saw hobbled today, Chris Middleton, who had his ankle stepped on, what his status will be. What version of Bobby Portis are you going to get in Game 5? But you're going to need two other guys. And ideally, guys that are hitting shots. Whether that's Malik Beasley, A.J. Green, Pat Connaughton, you need guys to hit shots. It is not over yet. You got a lot of work to do to put yourself in a good spot. But you're not in an insurmountable spot. Tuesday night, we will find out if the Bucks can extend their season or if we're taking a look into the offseason and what next year will bring for the Bucks. But again, tip time to be determined. We expect to find out at some point this evening what time that game is. Tuesday night between the Bucks and the Pacers. What we do know is it is inside of Fiserv Forum, and it is a must-win game for the Bucks. We'll talk to you once again Tuesday night with more Bucks talk.